So, good morning. I'm going to be looking at this passage that we've just had, and I'm going to break it down into three parts, and on each part, I'm going to be talking about our children, our young people, and also our team here, who help us with our youth and children's work. And, yes, I am going to need some volunteers in a bit, but I'll call you up as and when I need you, yeah? Now, Jesus starts this passage today. Well, Jesus is talking. The passage is what we've written down, yeah? So Jesus is talking to a group of people. He's actually, the background is, he has been talking about John the Baptist and explaining to them who John the Baptist was and how he's talked about in Scripture. And this is a continuation on from that. And he gives the example. He says, how can I describe the generation I see in front of me? I know, I'll say they're like the children in the marketplace. So the children at the time, their playground would have been the marketplace. And they would have seen what the adults were doing. And there are some thoughts that the children would start singing wedding songs. And as a wedding song is sung, everybody else would start joining in. And they might be seeing how many people they can get to join in with their wedding songs. Got any ideas of how children might do this? Yeah. That they're just trying to build something within the marketplace. And then one of them, tell you what, if we start singing the sad songs of the funeral procession, then maybe people will start singing the sad songs with us. And it might have been a little bit of a competition to see who could get people to sing. And they said, but we sing and you don't hear. Or we sing and you don't respond. And Jesus is talking about the generation who are hearing something, but not responding to what they are hearing. And he gives the example of John the Baptist. He says, you've got John the Baptist. And he would have been a Nazarene. He would have been set apart for God. He was a holy man who, when we meet him for the first time, is in the wilderness eating honey and locusts. And wearing camel hair. And he's been set apart. Yet people say he's got a demon in him. And he says, and then there's me. I come and I eat with people. I drink with people. And I spend time with sinners and with tax collectors. And you call me a glutton. Somebody who is greedy. And you also call me a drunkard. But Jesus doesn't respond to this. What he says is, you know not, the wisdom. Can we have the passage up, actually? That'd be really helpful for me. Because I want to get these words right. He says, the wisdom Yep, keep going. But wisdom. No, too far. Back again. He says, but wisdom is shown to be right by its results. So Jesus doesn't respond to what people have been saying about John the Baptist or himself. He says, look, the truth comes out of what you see. Yeah? We've got a generation that is doing one thing or hearing something and not necessarily responding to the call that's there. And he says, you're very much the same when it comes to John the Baptist and to me. You see us, but you don't respond to us. Now, children and young people, if anybody has ever spoken anything over you that might have been negative or not true, what I'm going to say is that doesn't define who you are. What defines who you are is what comes out of you, the kind of person that you are. Because that's where the truth is. That's where the wisdom is. That's where we find out how people really are. Is by their actions. One of the phrases that came to mind for me was the proof is in the pudding. Yeah? The truth comes out of what people see. And Jesus wasn't really willing to answer the question, although he posed it, but he said, you know, you will see it in us. Now, there's a little extra bit here for those that are interested. Jesus picked the funeral songs and the wedding songs on purpose, I feel. Because John was talking about people turning back to God. And that's repentance. And that can be quite sad when we're saying, actually, I've got this wrong and I need to turn back. And when Jesus arrived and he started his ministry, he often described himself as the bridegroom for his church. That he was here and it was about a celebration. Now, when Jesus is saying, you hear the funeral songs, but you don't respond. You hear the wedding songs, but you don't respond. I think he was saying more to us than just, you're not getting it. He was saying that actually we need to respond in a way that is appropriate. Now, that was the first bit, to be like children who actually understand. And Jesus goes on and he talks about how God has hidden some things from people and revealed it to children. Now, I need some help for my next bit, because he goes on and he tells us about how we can find out more about God. I need somebody to come and be God. Who feels brave enough to be God? Do you want to come be God? Up you come. We're going to have a short God today. That's fine. Up you come. No? You come and be God. Excellent. You come and stand here. Now, are we left-hand drive or right-hand drive? Which way round does it go? It'd be this side. God's here. There we go. Excellent. This is what Jesus says. He says, actually, nobody knows the Father. Nobody knows God apart from me. So who's going to be Jesus for me? Come on, Farrah, mate. Your hand went up. That's good. Go and be Jesus and stand next to God. Go the other side. That's good. So nobody knows the Father except me. And I know the Father. It gets a little bit confusing if you read it on the script, yeah, on the passage. But you know the Father. So what I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get you to place your hand on God's shoulder. Because you know God, yeah, and God knows you. We've established that. That's fine. And then what he says is actually, people that are going to know God, they need to know me. So I need somebody who's going to be us. Who's going to be us? Up you come. I'm going for the quickest hand here. There's one more after this, so get yourself ready. You can go and stand next to Jesus. There we go. Excellent. Now, because we know Jesus, so I'm going to ask you to place your hand on his arm here. Because we know Jesus, and Jesus knows God, then actually we can get to know God because we know Jesus. Yeah? This is what God's, what Jesus was saying. Is people get to know God through me. Because if I'm not here, there's this big divide between the two. But I step in so that you will now know who your Father is. But now this is where it gets really good, because I'm going to add to what Jesus has said, yeah? And I'm going to say this is what our leaders do. This is what our coaches do at Football Academy, yeah? Is what they do is they stand here and they say, I want to tell you about Jesus, yeah? And they tell the people around them about Jesus. Jesus then tells them about the Father. And then the people that are here, which are the others, get to know who God is. Yeah, we are so blessed to have volunteers and helpers who share their faith. Lewis, your hand's already up and I haven't asked. Would you like to come and be the others? Up you come. Now, this is brilliant. Now, because our volunteers and our young people share their faith and their trust in who Jesus is, people like Lewis and everybody else, others, yeah, can get to know their Father again. Yeah? Because that's why Jesus came, was to bring us back into that relationship. And our first conversation, the first bit of the talk was, when we're called to respond to God, how do we respond? That's what Jesus was talking about. Where are our hearts with God? That is the wrong way up, but never mind. There we go. So yeah, Jesus calls us back to this place. Now, well done, guys. You can go and sit back down. I've got one last thing to do, which is the last part of the talk, where Jesus starts talking about a yoke. Who can tell me what a yoke is? Right. It's the yellow part of the egg. Put your hands up if you think it's the yellow part of an egg. Children, well done. Jesus wasn't talking about the yellow part of the egg. He was talking about a piece of farming machinery in some ways, not machinery, a piece of wood that goes over the ox's shoulder. And it attaches to the plow, and the plow goes through the soil and makes it ready to have the seed planted in it and for the harvest to grow. Yeah? So we've got this yoke. And Jesus says, come and bring all the things that are difficult, all of your burdens, and come to me and pick up my yoke. Yeah? Strange thing to say, but I'm going to get some volunteers. And when I say volunteers, I mean Bimby and Mark. If you can come up. And there's a reason why I want these two. Come on, up you come. You got the yoke. Oh, they're both wearing their yokes. Oh, no, that's dog collar. Right, what I'd like you to do is come and stand here. Who? Are you left-hand or right-hand drive, Bimby? Your right-hand drive. This side, please. Thank you. Excellent. Mark, in you come. There we go.
My head's not that big.
No, it's supposed to go over your shoulders. There we go. Excellent. Now, children, the oxen would be... that they would actually be tied in, otherwise they would walk off and the yoke would stay where it is. Because don't forget, they're I've been so looking forward to doing this all week. There we go. Hold that side for me. Excellent. That's good. And we're just going to come through here. This is brilliant. This is really good. Excellent. Oh, sorry, Mark. Hang on. It worked better in my head, but I'm only going to do it once, twice. There we go. So they're now... sorry, Bimby. They're now attached. Excellent. They're working together. Just hold that for me. Thank you. Now, this is what Jesus said. Why did he use this as an example? Excellent. The reason he did this is because the head oxen, which I'm going to say at the moment is Bimby, yeah? They would always have two ox, and one would be older than the other. So in this case, Bimby's the older one. More mature, more well on in years. Yes, excellent. And the reason you would have a mature oxen was because the oxen knew what he was doing. Yeah. And as he would push in to the yoke, as he would plow the fields, the new, not improved, the new, the new person who's coming alongside, the new oxen, would actually come next to and would learn from. But you know what? You don't have to work as hard, my friend. And the reason you don't have to work as hard is because this ox over here, sorry, Bimby, is actually pushing forward, and it makes it easier. And what this ox has to do is just has to learn from the older ox. And as they push forward, they're sort of like, okay. And in some ways, the reason I've picked these two is because as a curate, that's what Mark has to do. He has to learn from Bimby. And Bimby might be pushing forward, and that makes your job easier, my friends, which is good. But there will come a day when Mark is standing in this place, and Mark will find somebody to come alongside him, and he will encourage him on. Yeah. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about these two when he was speaking. He was talking about us. And what he said was, come and be yoked with me. Because I'm going to be the lead ox. Bring your burdens, the things that you're struggling with, the things that are difficult, bring them to me and let me push forward with them. And all you have to do is you just have to follow me. You have to go in line with me. You have to go in my ways. You need to go the same direction as me. Because when you do that, you know what? It's easy. It's light. Because Jesus is the one pushing forward. When we look at Jesus' ministry and his disciples, their ministry was easy because they stood in the wake of Jesus. Yeah? And actually, that's a promise that we all have. And it's a promise that we have that Jesus goes before us and he goes with us. Yeah? Jesus not only opens up a relationship with God, but he takes us into a ministry with him. Now, when Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out into all the nations of the world. And he said, go and make disciples of the nations. And then he said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But to baptize them, to turn them from the old way, to tell them to repent, which is what John did, and to turn back to God and to move on. And you know what? The proof of whether we're doing that, the proof of whether we are yoked with Jesus, comes out of what people see in us. Yeah? Now, children and young people, I have to say, your leaders are brilliant. Because they yoke themselves with Jesus. And they explain to you who Jesus is and their relationship with him. And they encourage you on. Because as they step forward, they're asking you to step with you, with them. And that is absolutely brilliant. But we are all called to find that in our lives with Jesus. Yeah. So today, I'd like to encourage all of our staff team, all of our volunteers, that as we yoke ourselves with Jesus, he promises that it is easy. He promises that his burdens are light because he goes first. Yeah. And this summer, I know lots of our volunteers are looking for rest. Hard year. It's been a difficult year. We've done lots and lots of stuff. But Jesus says that our rest is in him because that's where we find it. And at this point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to release you guys, hopefully. There we go. You're able to... Oh, that was easier than I thought. And I'm going to invite those that are our volunteers to come forward. And I'm going to ask Bimby and Mark to pray for our volunteers that we have here today. As they step not just into their rest, but also into the next year, the next term, as we look forward to what God has in store for next year. So if you are a helper or a volunteer, can I ask you to come forward?